Holman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Studios. So this weekend, I dug in on Joe Alt, just talking to people around, you know, that would know and things like that. And I have made no secret that throughout this process here, I've really become attached to Joe Alt. It's probably not healthy. And in my mock draft 1.0 on Friday, which was very well received, in my mock draft, I had Chicago jumping the Titans in order to take Joe Alt. And I think part of that was because I just don't want to get my hopes up that such a great, can't-miss, slam-dunk prospect will be available at 7. That the Titans can sit there with their need at left tackle and get a guy who in other drafts might go number 2 or 3 overall. But 3 or 4 quarterbacks have to go because these teams need them. And then there's Marvin Harrison Jr., who people think might be a generational talent. And Malik Nabers is a freaking dog. And then you might just be able to get Joe Alt. But I don't want to get my hopes up. And over the weekend, I talked to people, again, that would know better than you and know better than me. And I was like, tell me about Joe Alt off the field. Because I know, on the field, Joe Alt never misses a game. Joe Alt's a great player. He never misses a game. 34 consecutive starts at Notre Dame. I know that he's got great measurables, huge size, the ideal hands for a tackle. Unlike Olu Fashanu, he's got the ideal hands, but he's got all the measurables. His athletic testing at the combine was off the charts. He played at a high-level Division I college against elite competition. Played against USC. Played against Ohio State. So, I mean, is this too good to be true? And I told you guys that when they had the Notre Dame Pro Day, they streamed it on Peacock. And I watched the interview Joe Alt did with the Notre Dame, you know, NBC people. And I just came away loving it when he was talking about how his mom reads Twitter. And he's like, Mom, stay off it. I have no idea what it's going to be. I just, you know, we just got to go about our business. And just such a likable and yet humble approach. So I said, tell me about Joe Alt off the field. Because I know all the good things on the field about Joe Alt. And everything I found out about Joe Alt reinforces to me more of why the Titans absolutely have to have this guy. Joe Alt is a mechanical engineering major at Notre Dame. Now look, there are a lot of people that are book smart that aren't street smart. But Notre Dame is a very good academic school. And again, he's a mechanical engineering major. So he's smart. And I was told that at Notre Dame, as a junior, he would stay after practice and help his teammates with technique. On Sundays, after games on Saturdays, Joe Alt would host the entire offensive line at his house where they'd grill out and watch film. I was told that at Notre Dame, Joe Alt was a team leader at 19 and 20 years old. I was told by somebody else, is this kid just perfect? Is he the perfect left tackle prospect of on the field, off the field? And they said, somebody who knows him very well, said there's honestly nothing wrong with this kid. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke weed. He has a serious girlfriend that he treats like a queen. This kid is perfect. In all my years of doing this, I don't think I have ever been more enamored with one individual prospect. Are there drafts where there's a guy going number one that, oh yeah, if the Titans could have Myles Garrett, I'd love it, sure. But in that draft, 2017, I wanted the Titans to trade back. I remember all the talks that we had about Rashawn Evans versus Leighton Vander Esch versus Marcus Davenport in the 2018 draft. I remember in 2019 the talk about, do they go offensive line? Do they go defense? Do they try to get a pass rusher? What do they do there? In 2020, we talked corner and tackle. But I never loved A.J. Terrell or loved Trayvon Diggs. I never loved Elijah Moore in 2021. Or, oh, the pass rusher out of Georgia or LSU, his name escapes me. We talked about him all the time, and he ended up falling to, like, late in the second round. All these years, I've never just fallen in love with a prospect the way I have with Joe Alt.
What about Anthony Richardson?
Well, yeah, there is that. But that's a little different because...
quarterback.
I knew the Titans weren't going to draft him. This is... I knew that when... And I, again, people are going to be like, you only talk about the times you were right. But I was convinced that with all the ESPN reporting that was coming out about how, oh, the Colts are going to take Will Levis, I felt pretty strongly they were going to take Anthony Richardson and that the Titans did not have much interest in Richardson. So it was almost like, yeah, I love him, but I knew that they didn't. But this is the one where, like, I think the Titans might draft this guy. And I just love him. And then when I hear things like, again, I mean, I don't care that a guy doesn't drink or smoke weed. My problem is if he drinks too much or smokes too much weed. But the fact that he doesn't do those things, it eliminates possibilities of how this could go wrong. Just after the people that I've talked to and watching his interview, which again is not everything, but watching his interview on Peacock at the Pro Day, I get the feeling there's a pretty good chance Joe Alt's going to be team captain in year two. Like that it's going to be him and Levis. And if Levis is good, because if Levis is bad, then we got a whole different discussion. But, like, you know, him and Simmons, and as they build this next core, without Henry, without Tannehill, without Byard, without Autry, you know, he's probably quickly going to be part of that leadership group, I would assume, if he's here. And I just can't, I mean, to me, Thomas Dimitroff used the term pillar player. On the Sumer Sports draft show, here's what Thomas Dimitroff said about Joe Alt. And when I hear this term, like, and everything that everybody's told me about Joe Alt, they literally go hand in hand.
I mean, a guy that you can build your team around. It's why he is a pillar player, right? He's not only a pillar position, but a guy that you're going to be proud of at, you know, of having as your pillar offensive tackle moving into many years.
I mean, he's telling you, this is not just, oh, we need a tackle, let's take a tackle, he's our tackle. This is Eddie George, you know, in terms of what the guy represents to the team. And given the fact that the Titans don't have a lot of leaders on this team right now, they could use that. When I think of a prospect that checks every box, and then again, we hear the things, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke weed, has a serious girlfriend, was a leader, had the team over to his house, watches the tape. It's like, not only is that a leader, but that's somebody that you draft him, knock on wood, no injuries, you don't have to worry about it. And the Titans need more players like that. They need more players that you don't have to worry about. The way that Byard was for so many years. I'm all in on Joe Alt. And it's going to break my heart if somebody takes him ahead of the Titans, and I'm going to go nuts if the Titans pass on him at 7. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on this, so we will. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I'm not saying that, hey, Latham is the guy over Alt. I'm not saying that. I don't want to get that misconstrued. I do say this. They're very close. And I do know that there are a select number of teams in the league that have Latham rated above Alt. And I think when you have just a big mountainous guy like that, now I'm not saying drafting him, flip him to the left side, but there are other teams who have drafted, you know, a tackle early, a right tackle, that is. And you look at what the Eagles did with Lane Johnson. You know, they drafted him and put him on the right side. I remember the 49ers drafted Anthony Davis out of Rutgers and flipped him to the right side. And they had Joe Staley and Anthony Davis for years. And you look at, you know, Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. So I say all that to say this, right tackle does have some value. I don't know about at seven. I think, you know, depending on what's on the board, they might have to reconsider.
That was TD earlier this draft process on our show. TD's actually texting me about Joe Alt, about how, like, you know, every cut that he watched, as TD said, he literally checks every box and is more athletic than he gets credit for. His shuttle, which is apparently the big deal to the Sumer Sports analytic gurus, his shuttle was supposedly off the charts. I mean, again, the people I talked to this weekend, they were like, dude, if the Titans pass on Joe Alt, they will regret it. That's what somebody told me. And I think, again, like, I think he'd be great for Skoronski. I think he'd be great for Levis. And as I said, I just think he's the guy. You draft him, and you just don't have to worry about it. And I'm convinced he's that good. Jacob texts in. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Jacob says, I'm a lifelong Notre Dame fan. Out of so many great high-end offensive linemen, Joe Alt is by far the best to come out of Notre Dame. I'm convinced that if the Titans, if this were any other year, he's not lasting with the seventh pick. And maybe he'll be the biggest offensive line bust since Tony Mandarich. But I, Robert Gallery, but I just freaking love him. And I know how valuable left tackle is. And Joe Alt just, I just have never been so enamored with the prospect. And Ian, you brought up Anthony Richardson, which I thought was a really good point, because I would have been willing to trade up to number three for Anthony Richardson last
year. Well, you just talked about how much you loved him.
I did. I knew Anthony Richardson could be failed. Like, and I think Indy's well on their way. You know, these design sweeps for him. I had a former NFL head coach talk to me before Levis made his first start, who said that he was watching Indianapolis run design sweeps for Anthony Richardson. He's like, what are you trying to get the kid killed? But I knew that Anthony Richardson had room to go. But the talent he possessed was just unbelievable. I don't, other than injuries, which I hope never happen and could happen to anybody, I hope, I can't see how this doesn't work.
More plug and play here for Joe Alt.
I mean, just the floor. And that's another reason that, hey, it's like Trevor said, any other move other than drafting Joe Alt will cause Rand Carthon more heartburn than just drafting Joe Alt. One texter says, here's my problem. Alt is very passive with his punches. I have watched quite a bit of him. Nothing about him screams that I want to go to battle with him. You get inside his pads and he's done for. But that's not my biggest problem with Alt. He lacks aggression. And my fear is that when skill is matched against skill in this league, Alt will get bullied. And I felt this way even before I saw what Greg Cosell had to say. He's a good model citizen. Cool. It means nothing between the lines. So, again, I mean, look, all due respect to Greg Cosell, I don't give a rat's ass what he has to say. Well, I mean, play the Bruce Feldman cut again, Ian, where Bruce Feldman this morning on Robbie and Joe was talking to opposing college coaches about the offensive linemen in this class, and Bruce Feldman said, they're not as good as Joe Alt.
From everything I've gathered, they feel like there is a gap with Joe Alt. Joe Alt checks the most boxes. There's other guys who maybe have bigger weak spots or areas where they have to develop further on either one aspect, as a pass protector, as a run blocker. You know, there's been a couple of guys I talked to also faced other guys who were projected in the first round. And when I would ask them about other guys after talking about Joe Alt, they'd be like, are people talking about, you know, blank as a top 15 pick or something? And I was like, well, there's chatter that this guy's going to be a first round pick. He's like, oh, he's a good player. He ain't Joe Alt, though.
He ain't Joe Alt. And somebody tweeted me and said, fashion is better. I'm like, I read the Bruce Feldman piece at The Athletic where he did talk to the opposing coaches, and everything with fashion was he's great and has great size and this, and but, and there was no but when it came to Joe Alt. Caleb says, should the Titans try to go up a spot or two in the draft to ensure that they get Alt, or is that not an option for the Titans? They just don't have enough draft capital. I mean, it's all a roll of the dice, right? So I know Chicago's going Caleb Williams. I know Washington and New England are going quarterback. I guess there's a chance New England could not go quarterback, but are they really going to start a new era off with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback? And let me say this. I did some more homework over the weekend. Again, the Jared Stillman Mock Draft 1.0, which is up on the podcast page if you want to see it. I had Chicago jumping Tennessee from 9 to 5 in order to draft Joe Alt, because I look at Chicago and I see QB1 Caleb Williams, wide receiver 1 DJ Moore, Jalen Johnson, corner number 1, Montez Sweat, edge number 1, and then Braxton Jones, their left tackle, is meh. But I did some work, and I just am convinced after having done some homework this weekend, doing some talking, that we don't have to worry about Chicago, or at least that not to the extent that I was. Well, then let's go down the list here, right? Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Arizona has a left tackle in Paris Johnson. They signed Jonah Williams. They're not in the left tackle market. Plus, they're trying to trade out. And all signs point to that being Minnesota, who they will trade out with. The Chargers, who the words coming out of the Chargers' mouth is that they might take Alt. The actions of the Chargers scream wide receiver. The Giants have 3 tackles. Atlanta behind you has a left tackle. Chicago at 9 doesn't seem interested in left tackle. So, like, the Jets at 10 are kind of the first team that could plop up to get in front of you to get Joe Alt. And the prices in order to make these trades are going to be so high because these teams at 4 and 5 are going to be talking to Minnesota and Denver and the Raiders about quarterback that it's like, yeah, okay, you want 3, you want to do it, 3 first-round picks, and nobody's trading 3 first-round picks for a left tackle. I don't think. So, I am willing to roll the dice that Joe Alt is available at the 7th pick. Knowing that if Joe Alt is not available at the 7th pick, there are still good linemen out there that you can have and elite wide receivers that'll be out there and everything else. I will be bummed if Joe Alt is not there at 7. If the 5th pick comes in and it's the Chargers taking Joe Alt, I will be crushed. If the Titans just choose not to take Joe Alt, I'll go nuts. One texter says, thanks, Jared. You're getting our hopes up and there's no way he's making it to 7. Again, I just laid it out for you. If you think that the Jets are going to trade up from 10 to get to 5 to be able to take them, and again, the prices, it sounds like, in order to get to 4 or 5, 3 first-round draft choices. If that's the case for the Jets, then more power to them. But I don't think anybody's trading 3 first-round draft picks for a left tackle. So unless you think one of those teams is going to say, screw it, let's take a left tackle, even though we don't have a quarterback in Chicago. We don't have a quarterback in Washington. We don't have a quarterback in New England. We just took a top 10 left tackle in Arizona. We have a Pro Bowl left tackle in LA. And we've got 3 tackles, including a franchise left tackle we took in the top 10 and extended with the Giants. Then there should be a chance that Joe Alt is there at 7. More of your phones on it. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the program. 615-737-1025. Let's talk about my friends at the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Fellas, you've put this off for way too long, and it is time to get it done and move forward with your sex life. And the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. The reality is pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? I did not know that. And I know a lot of you guys hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED, weight loss, and they now even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED and weight loss treatments truly change lives, and with no surgery, they are seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in guys who think they're out of luck and regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. So if it's time for you to feel amazing, call the Tennessee Men's Clinic today, 615-208-9090. That's 615-208-9090, or go online to TennesseeMensClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMensClinic.com.
Tennessee could take anybody. A lot of people have them taking Ault. Now, Ault could go five to the Chargers. It's not impossible, but I don't think he will. He's going to be on the board, I believe, after the four quarterbacks and Harrison go off the board the first five. Ault could go to Tennessee. I'd say it's 50-50. If he doesn't, he's probably going to be there for the Jets. If the Jets get the good fortune of Ault being there at 10, if they don't take him, they should be shot.
That was Mike Francesa on his podcast. Will texts in and says, I'm not convinced that somebody would take Ault before 11 if the Titans trade with the Vikings. Well, Will, they're saying in New York, the Jets should be shot if they don't draft Joe Ault. I do not think you can risk it. The only risk I think you can take, and this is not a risk, the only thing I think you could do is you could be on the clock at 7, tell Atlanta you're going to draft Dallas Turner, and see if Atlanta will make a deal to move up to 7, and then you pick up a third and then draft Ault at 8. That's it. Other than that, you might lose the player. But then again, I don't know if Atlanta wants Dallas Turner at 8. I think that the Titans are kind of in a peculiar situation, you know, where it's like we keep hearing Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner. And how often do we hear, like, one team has mocked a guy constantly and they end up not drafting him on draft night? So maybe the Falcons don't go Dallas Turner, and I don't want to say maybe you don't go Joe Ault, but I worry that that might be the case. Texter says, it's all about what the Chargers do. If they take Ault, the Titans will end up with Neighbors or Adunze. So I don't think it's all about what the Chargers do, because there is that fourth pick. And Arizona has made it clear that they want to move the fourth pick. They've made it clear. But it's starting to seem like they're really only talking with Minnesota about moving up to 4 for J.J. McCarthy. Apparently the talk is that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 4. So if Minnesota is moving up from 11 to 4 and J.J. goes at 3 to New England, then they are moving up for Drake May. Now, Tony Pauline came out and said that New England is leaning towards J.J. McCarthy, or that sources say New England is leaning towards J.J. McCarthy. I want to caution you about Tony Pauline, because I think Tony Pauline makes crap up. And so I hear all the time, well, Tony Pauline said, and I know this because Tony Pauline came out and said that people around the league were unsure of Isaiah Wilson's character. So you know what I did after he said that? I went back and looked at his scouting report prior to the draft of Isaiah Wilson, and there was nothing in there. So if you see that Tony Pauline is reporting something, just know that it's probably not true. And I'm not saying that it's like a one, it's just, he constantly comes out with, well, Tony Pauline said, and it's like, he don't know anything. Like, you don't, who's the hockey guy, Ian, that we have that does that?
Talking about Pagnotta?
Dave Pagnotta. That guy, he doesn't know if it is pumped or stuffed. And it'll be, well, Dave Pagnotta said the Predators want 5 first round draft picks for Sorrow. You know, it's, okay. But so Arizona, if they move out of that pick for a quarterback or for Marvin, now that eliminates a spot. But if some, you know, maybe if somebody gets, they like Joe Ault so much, maybe they try to move up with Arizona for that. Maybe the Giants try to move their left to, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it all hinges on the Chargers, and I don't think the Chargers are going to take them. Again, I'll never forget years ago, there was a rumor coming out that San Francisco was going to trade for Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington. And there was a rumor at the combine that San Francisco was going to trade for Cousins. And I remember the GM walked in that day and we said, you see the rumor that San Francisco is going to trade for Cousins? And he goes, well, who's Washington's quarterback going to be? I said, I don't know. And he said, well, then no, they're not going to do it. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you have to have a quarterback. So when it comes to the Chargers, they don't have receivers, folks. Like, Josh Palmer is not a starting NFL receiver. And Quentin Johnston is a bust. They do not have a receiver. So they're going to draft a receiver. The question is, are they going to be drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, or are they going to be drafting Brian Thomas Jr.? That's the question. So I just cannot worry about the Chargers taking Joe Walt. I cannot see it. Larry says, what are the chances the Titans trade back if Alt goes before the seventh pick? So I was listening to Rick Spielman, the former Vikings general manager, has got a podcast with CBS that I listen to this time of year called With the First Pick. And I was listening to the podcast, and they were talking about all these draft trade scenarios. Like Denver moves up for J.J. McCarthy, or Denver moves back for Michael Penix, or this one moves up and this one moves back. And there were all these teams that it was like, you know, this team could move back and this would be a great to move back to be able to. And all I heard were teams, and this wasn't Spielman saying this, you know, there was a host that was kind of like Jared and the GM. And he was the guy that was kind of bringing, oh, this team would love to trade back and this team would love to trade back. And it's like, all these teams want to trade back. But you have to have a dance partner in order to do it. So if Alt's off the board and the Titans are sitting there at seven, is there a team that would trade up to seven to draft one of the receivers? Because if Alt's off the board, the receivers are there. Would somebody be willing to do it? And I just don't know the answer, right? Like, Chicago does not have a ton of draft capital. So you'd have to take something in next year's draft. Would you be willing to switch from nine to seven so that they could get Malik Nabers and then you could take Olufashinu, but you'd only get a fourth round draft choice in order to do it? Or you'd get a third-round draft choice next year. Would you be willing to do that? And would Chicago, who's used a lot of their draft capital, again, trading for Montez Sweat, trading for Keenan Allen, would Chicago even be willing to trade next year's picks, knowing that Keenan Allen's not going to be around for forever? Texture says, the Titans getting jumped for Joe Alt is a great talking point that nobody is discussing enough. Thank you for finally addressing it. But again, the question is, are the Jets willing to give up next year's first-round pick to move up and jump the Titans? Because I believe that's what the difference between 5 and 10 is. Let me pull up the draft chart. I should have it up here somewhere. I've got all the charts. You know, I got them all somewhere, all these tabs and everything else. So if I pull up the draft trade chart, I do wonder what it says about moving from five. I'm going to guess that it's a first-round draft choice. Well, let me ask you this question. Would you trade next year's first-round pick for Joe Alt? And you know I love Joe Alt, but I wouldn't do it. Okay, so 10 is 1,300 points. 5 is 1,700 points. That's a difference of 400 points, which is the 50th pick in the draft. So basically the Jets, by my count, would have to give up, and they don't have a second-round pick because that went to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Jets would probably have to give up a third and a fourth to move up from 10 to 5.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's more than that. Probably a third this year and a third next year. Or a third this year and a second next year. Like, they'd have to, and I'm not sure that they would do that. Texture says, Jared, is it out of the realm of someone doing a swap and trade? For example, the Bengals swap the picks with the Chargers and then give them T. Higgins. I think that specific example is totally out of the question. I'll tell you why. Because they still have to give Higgins a contract. So if I make the move from 5 with a value of 1,700 to 18 with a value of 900, then you're telling me that T. Higgins is worth the 21st pick in the draft because that's the value of the difference. You see anybody offering the 21st pick for T. Higgins? Of course not. So now maybe Cincinnati could get, you know, really creative, and it could be Higgins and a second, and then they swap spot, you know, like it could be something like that, but we normally don't see trades like that. I think it's probably out of the question. I think the Chargers are holding out. My gut is that Arizona wants to trade with Minnesota to get all their picks, and that the Chargers want Marvin Harrison Jr. That's my gut, and I could be totally wrong about it. One texter says, why have we gone away from Brock Bowers? Because the Titans got Calvin Ridley. If Bowers is there and the Titans don't draft him, the Titans should be shot. I'm not a big Brock Bowers guy. I mean, he's a great player, but I mean, I just don't think it's as important as left tackle. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the program. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on our program today, that's your shot to get into it here at 615-737-1025. Speaking of that Arizona pick at four, the price that Minnesota might pay, and somebody with deep ties to Minnesota tells you what they're going to have to do. And this blows my mind, and it probably takes the Titans out of the discussion as far as trading with the Vikings at 11. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So the Vikings, where you spent the last several decades, I believe, including the general manager for 10-plus years, let's say they trade picks number 11 and number 23, and they may even have possibly have to trade a 2025 first-rounder to sweeten the pot here, and they move up to number 4. Where the Cardinals currently sit. Minnesota would take quarterback J.J. McCarthy. He would be the fourth quarterback off the board. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think when Minnesota went and traded to get that second first-round pick, they're setting themselves up to go get a quarterback. They don't have a choice. So hopefully Arizona is the team, and it sounds like it could be J.J. McCarthy. I know, Ryan, when we were out there on the Pro Day tour just talking to some people, I heard a lot of things that Minnesota had thought he had an excellent pro day up there and fits exactly what Kevin O'Connell wants to do from an offensive standpoint. But they're not going to get it for just the first two round picks. They're going to have to throw in their first round pick in 2025 plus some more draft capital to do what they have to do to go up and get it. So if they go get him, I don't think he's the fourth overall best quarterback in this draft or best, or I shouldn't say best quarterback, best player in this draft. But if you have to have one, then you're going to overpay to get one. I think he's going to be a good pro, but I think they're going to overpay if they have to go up and get him.
Oh my God. Rick Spielman says for Minnesota to get J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to have to do it, it's going to be the two first rounders this year, next year's first rounder, and more. Also, by the way, can we just take a moment here, Ian, to acknowledge Floyd would never have said what Rick Spielman just said right there.
What do you mean?
Like, if we're the Titans and they were looking at drafting a quarterback and he went to a pro day, and at the pro day, because you know he would have heard something and not shared it. I'll never forget on draft day 2019, the Jaguars, a lot of people were thinking that TJ Hockenson was going to be their pick. It ended up being Josh Allen, the pass rusher. And we were talking about, okay, so Josh Allen was starting to fall a little bit. Are they going to take him, or are they going to take Hockenson? And Floyd was like, they love the tight end. And I said, how do you know that? And he looked at me and goes, they love him. And I was like, okay, he knows it, I guess. He would never go on the radio, though, and say that the Titans would have to trade three first-round draft choices and more in order to go up and get a quarterback.
You don't think so?
No, he'd keep that one right in the heart.
Well, maybe.
And if he had heard at the pro day that they liked him, he never would have shared that.
Yeah, probably not.
So, good tea there from Rick Spielman. Can I ask a question every time I hear something like that? And I am not shooting the messenger here when I say this. Because I love Spielman. And I think, you know, I think he respects me because we've had him on Sirius a bunch and whatnot. Are these people freaking stupid? Like, I'm dead serious in Minnesota. Are these people freaking stupid? Three first-round choices and more for J.J. McCarthy, and they've already dealt next year second. Are you people stupid? Now, I'll give them credit because they've got their left tackle, they've got their number one receiver, and they've got an offensive coach. But you cannot tell me, I am not convinced that J.J. McCarthy, with no first-round draft choice next year, no second-round draft choice next year, whatever else it takes in order to get J.J. McCarthy, because, again, it's not just going to be the three first-round draft choices, according to Spielman. You cannot convince me that he's better or that much better, like all those picks better, than just waiting at 11 and drafting Michael Penix. You cannot convince me of that. You cannot convince me that if my option is J.J. McCarthy and I give up all those picks, that that's better than Sam Darnold and the picks that I have. Now, maybe he's Mahomes. And Kansas City did pay an arm and a leg for Mahomes. They didn't pay three first-round draft choices. They paid two and a third. And the Bills paid dearly for Josh Allen. They didn't pay three first-round draft choices. I believe it was 2 seconds and their left tackle. And then they swapped first. So, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now. Like, maybe these people are that stuff. And maybe it works for them and I'm the stupid. I don't know, man. I mean, again, like, just saying, like, are you people that stupid? One texter says, who else is going to get J.J. McCarthy at 4? Why not wait till 5 or even 7? I think it's a good point, right? Denver absolutely cannot trade all those draft choices to move up to 4 because they traded all those draft choices for Russell Wilson. So they can't trade all the draft choices. The Raiders, I guess, could in theory trade some draft choices, but why would you do that when... I mean, maybe the Raiders could do it. I don't. I agree with the texter. Why do that all for J.J. McCarthy? Agreed. Skeeter says he's a Vikings fan. Says they aren't mortgaging that much of their future. I'm a huge Viking fan, and I will be so disappointed if they did that. I might trade up a couple, but not all the way up to 4 for all that. So here's the draft trade chart. And I think what Spielman's saying is, like, the third first round pick, and that's what we call the bent over the barrel tax, which is I've got you bent over the barrel, so you have to pay me. Because the chart says that Minnesota's 11th pick plus, which is 1250, plus their 23rd pick, which is 760, that is about equal to the 1800 that Arizona's pick is worth. In fact, it's even more. But then there's Arizona saying, well, if you want the player, you got to overpay for it. And that's what Spielman's saying they have to do. I can't believe they'd do that. Like, I cannot believe that they trade all that. I still think my trade is more realistic, which is Minnesota trades with you because Denver can get to you and the Raiders can get to you if they really want to. They trade with you. They give you the two first rounders. You give them your second rounder and 7. And they give you a fourth rounder. And then they get JJ. And they still get to pick a second player. They'll do it at 38 instead of 23. And then they give you the fourth rounder. And in the deep receiver and tackle draft, you get another pick right outside the top 100 where you're picking at 106. So then you get the Vikings at 108. And if you want to package them and move back into the third round, you can. That makes a lot more sense for everybody than let's trade them all for JJ. That one I'm not sure. JD says, when it comes to somebody trading for Joe Alt, when is the last time anybody traded up to draft a tackle, let alone in the top 5. So it's happened. I mean, you traded up in the top 10 in order to draft Jack Conklin back in the day. I mean, there's so many of these trades that happen that we forget about. That's like, oh yeah, New York did trade from 11 to 6 in 2021 in order. Like, that stuff happens. But to answer your question, probably not a lot. Which is, again, why, like, I want Joe Alt. Like, you know I want him. I want him. But I'm not trading up with the chart. I'm not trading up to get to 5. 7 to 5 has a value of 200, which is a third-round pick. I am not doing that. Like, I'm not moving from, I'm not going to give up next year's third or a fourth round. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to risk Joe Alt in that I don't think the Chargers or Giants will take him. So I think it's a good point that the texter makes about how many teams really do trade up for tackles in the first round. Texter says, Jared, do you take nothing out of the fact that the Titans, he says three personal visits with Malik Nabers. I think you are only allowed to have him once. So it's a top 30 visit with Nabers. Knowing Rand's track record of drafting players he has met with multiple times. That's from Tyree. I don't know how many times Rand's met with Nabers, and I don't know about how many times that Rand's done that in the past. Couldn't tell you. And look, Nabers is a good ball player. You got to have all your bases covered. But I'll go crazy if they, and you know I love Nabers, but if they take him over Alt, I'll go nuts. Just because Alt's not only a great tackle prospect and supposedly just off the charts from the homework that I did over the weekend off the field, but it's exactly what this organization needs. So I'll be really, really sad if they don't get him. 615-737-1025. TD brings up the Trey Lance trade. Text me about the Trey Lance. Let me tell you something. That Trey Lance trade was all-time stupid. And if it wasn't for the Brock Purdy miracle, then Shanahan be in a lot of trouble right now. I mean, I would not advise making that kind of trade again. Unless you think J.J. McCarthy is Mahomes. And for that, we'll see. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of making these decisions, these bargains, John Calipari made a choice today that I have to believe was a very difficult choice. And it wasn't about escaping the crazies at Kentucky. It wasn't. But it was about preserving his identity. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Window Nation. April is here, and if your windows will not open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. And there is no limit on how much you could save. Plus, you can save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. And again, I had Window Nation out to my home, and they did a fabulous job, and I know I can trust them. Because I said, what windows do I need replaced? They said, you don't need to replace your windows. Your windows are okay. And I'm not bragging about my windows, though it is nice to know that I have nice windows. What I'm doing is I'm telling you that they could have made money off of me, and they chose not to because they did the honest thing. So let Window Nation do the same thing for you. Again, you get a free in-home estimate, and there's no limit on how much you could save. Buy two windows, get two windows free, no payments, no interest for 24 months. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Again, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.